from his studios in New York. It's time for Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora, where sports meets life. Here's your host, Dan Tortora.
Welcome here to Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on WakeUpCallDT.com, your one-stop sports shop, and the free Wake Up Call DT app that you can get by downloading the app right free from WakeUpCallDT.podbean.com/mobile. That's WakeUpCallDT.podbean.com/mobile. I want to thank over 91,000 downloads to the shows. There's over 600 shows on there, always adding something every single week. So make sure you listen in there and on iTunes. The name of the show is the name of the free podcast. Search Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora in iTunes podcast today. It's an honor and a privilege to have on my show for the first time here that him and I are talking, and that is none other than Andrew Armstrong, outside linebacker coming from Cardinal Mooney High School in Youngstown, Ohio. He has officially become orange on National Signing Day at the earliest he possibly could, sending in his national letter of intent to the Syracuse Orange and officially joining the team just a few days, we should say, after he visited Syracuse and decided it was the right fit for him. So made that verbal commitment at the end of January and said yes on National Signing Day for the Syracuse Orange and will come in their incoming class of 2016. Without further ado, I welcome him to the show. Andrew, how you doing? Absolutely. And Andrew, first and foremost, coming from Youngstown, Ohio, I know that you and I were talking a little bit off the air that Syracuse had not reached out to you with the old staff, but being in the state of Ohio, you did know the Bowling Green staff that's now at Syracuse, and just what you could say about your first interaction with them when they first reached out to you as a recruit, even though they were at Bowling Green. How did everything get started?
Well, last summer, I actually attended one camp, and it happened to be Bowling Green, and I had a great performance at the camp, and about a week later I went up to the campus and talked to all the coaches, and they offered me a scholarship. So that was how the relationship began with the coaching staff. And throughout the whole process, I stayed committed to Bowling Green, and then after my senior season, that's when recruiting started really picking up, and I still kept the relationship with Bowling Green. I was still committed to them, and after the coaching change, they reached out to me and offered me a scholarship for Syracuse, which I was super excited about, and definitely want to get up and visit them first for my first official visit.
Now, when you look at Syracuse and you look at the fact that this was not a school that was on the radar beforehand, but like you said, you built your relationship with the coaches at Bowling Green, you were committed there verbally, and then you decided to go visit Syracuse, verbally commit to Syracuse. Some people fall in love with the school. Other people fall in love with the coaching staff, and that is a driving force for them. What can you say to that? Was it really, as soon as the coaches left Bowling Green, was Bowling Green out of the picture, so to speak, now that the coaches were over at Syracuse?
Well, I actually had some more offers, too, which kind of influenced my decision to decommit from Bowling Green. It wasn't totally all based off Syracuse, but I had a great relationship with those coaches, but I got the best of both worlds. A great relationship with the coaches, as well as a great, tradition-rich program at Syracuse. And I didn't really know too much about Syracuse until they offered me. I did a bunch of research, and I got there. It's just an amazing place with amazing people, and I fell in love with it from the start. So it could say a lot because I committed about a couple of days after my visit, so I just loved it.
What was it about Syracuse that made you fall in love with it once you got on the campus?
Basically, I'd have to say the people I got to talk to. There was just so many, amazing people that came out of that school, and, state-of-the-art facilities and academics. You can't beat that. And, just the program that's on the rise. I believe this coaching staff, will get it back to a winning program. They have a tradition of winning in their history. So just excited to be a part of something as special as Syracuse.
When you look at this coaching staff, you had relationships with Dino Babers, who's now the head coach at Syracuse, as well as Tom Kaufman, the linebackers coach, and Brian Ward, the defensive coordinator, all when they were at Bowling Green. I want to start with Dino Babers and what you could say about your relationship with him from Bowling Green to Syracuse, what you can say about him, his personality, and what you like about him.
You know, he's just a class act guy. You know, he's really more of a father, and he there's a father figure in him as a coach, and you know, he wants to develop young men as well as great football players. And you know, he's just an upbeat guy, very positive guy. You know, doesn't really get in your face swearing at you and stuff. He just, you know, but there's a time when he gets real serious. He's just a great guy, and I really enjoyed talking to him. And, you know, I believe I could be a major part of that program, and it made me feel like that. So it was just awesome talking to him.
I want to ask you about something that Dino Babers says that the other recruits talked about as well, and that I've heard when I've been in press conferences with Dino since he's come to Syracuse, which is the statement, faith. Belief without evidence. What can you say about that statement and when you heard him say it in front of you and kind of what that statement means to you, faith, belief without evidence?
You know, you just have to believe in yourself. You need to believe that you're going to be the best on the field. You need to believe in that, in the winning thought, because if you don't believe, you're not going to win. You know, you need to all be on board and all that confidence and a little bit of cognizance that you're going to go out there and you're going to win a lot of football games. And, you know, you just trust in God, you know, every day that he's going to put you in that right situation to win. So, you know, I strongly believe in Coach Babers' message, and I think it's awesome.
You bring up God and your faith, obviously, in connection with that. What can you say about God in your life, how strong your faith is, and how important it is to believe in something bigger than yourself?
I grew up in a Catholic school. I was raised Catholic by my parents, and you know, God's a major factor in my life. Without him, you know, this would be possible. You know, I thank him every day for the situation that he put me in, and I want to use my talents to succeed. And I believe he gave me all these for a reason, to better, you know, people and help them one day. So God's a major part of my life, and you know, I can't thank him enough.
When we live in a world, Andrew, that people sometimes hesitate to talk about God or mention God or say that they have God in their lives, you have had no fear whatsoever of stating that you have a faith, that you're proud of the faith you have and the God that you believe in, and that there is that being that is bigger than all of us. I firmly agree with you on my side too. I believed in God my entire life and always will continue to, and nothing's going to change that. What can you say about living in a world, though, where some people want you to be quiet about it, they don't want you to talk about it or admit it? How do you handle that?
You know, well, there's a lot of people in this world, and everyone has their own beliefs. And, you know, I happen to believe in a God and our creator, but, you know, I respect other people's beliefs, what they want to believe. But, you know, I was raised Catholic, and that's what I believe in, and that's what I live my life by. But I'm not going to judge anyone if they're not Catholic or, you know, they're a different religion or a different race or believe something different. Yeah, but we're all created equal, so I'll give that respect to you if you know, believe in the same thing I do.
When you have that belief and you have that equality that really is front and center for you, that everybody is the same, comes from the same place, when you're on the field, what can you say about the brotherhood, the camaraderie? What is it about football that makes you want to be on the field? What is it about the brotherhood that makes you feel like you're a part of something special?
Yeah, like you said, being on a football team, it's more than just a football team. It's a brotherhood. And you spend every single day with those guys, and they really become part of your family. Like, you could go to outside of football as well and inside. You know, if you have a problem outside of football and you need someone to talk to, you could go to your teammate, and, you know, they'll be right by your side through it all. You know, you go to war with those guys, and you'll risk anything to win and see them succeed and, you know, be happy. So, you know, it's more than a team. It's a brotherhood, and, you know, I really believe in that.
When you have that brotherhood, that connection with all of the guys that you've been around, I want to go into your history and what you've been able to do in high school at Cardinal Mooney High School. What are you going to take away from your time at Cardinal Mooney? What are some of the things you learned from your coaches and your teammates that you really believe are going to help you in the future?
We have this thing at Mooney. It's called the Mooney family. So we consider everyone in our school family, and you know, we treat everyone right and how they should be treated, and we don't look down on anyone. So I'm really going to carry that message into life and, you know, just treat everyone like how I would want to be treated. And we learn about God every single day at my school, and, you know, just that's a big influence in my life. And, you know, they did a great job in raising me, or, you know, teaching me how to be a young, respectful man. And so I will definitely take that message, you know, into the rest of my life.
When you look at the message that you're going to be taking with you, what do you want the message to be for Syracuse for the future? What are some of the things that you believe in? You say you believe in the staff. Obviously, you built a relationship with them at Bowling Green, which has continued on into Syracuse. What should people believe in that you believe in when it comes to this new Syracuse staff and the future that is to come?
You know, I believe we will win many football games. I believe under this new staff, they will push us extremely hard and get us in the right state of mind to win and condition us, you know, every day and just develop us into great people as well as great football players. So, you know, based off their, you know, attitudes towards us, I think that's going to carry over. And, you know, we're just going to win a ton of football games as well as being great people in the community.
We spoke about Dino Babers, Andrew. I want to go into two of the other guys that you had built a relationship with while they were at Bowling Green and now at Syracuse. The first one being Brian Ward, the defensive coordinator. What can you say about him and your relationship with him at this point?
Well, we had a strong connection with Coach Ward, actually. I'm a type 1 diabetic, and I was diagnosed about a year ago. And his daughter is also a type 1 diabetic, so he's extremely familiar with the disease. And, you know, it's just reassuring for me and my family that there's going to be someone up there, you know, looking out for me. And, you know, he's been through it with his family, and, you know, we just have that connection. Not to say, along with, he's a great football coach and, you know, just a great guy that I really felt comfortable with, and I really felt that he would be more than just a football coach in my life.
When you talk about being diagnosed with type 1 diabetes and having somebody there in Brian Ward that understands it, understands what it means, what it entails, and that he could be there for you even though you're going to be away from home. When you were first diagnosed with type 1 diabetes, what were you going through? What was kind of happening in your life? Because that brought some closure, obviously, to it. You knew what it was, and then you could have a plan to tackle it. But what were you going through in your life before you were diagnosed that was making you kind of realize that there was something wrong?
I was actually urinating a lot, and I was drinking a ton of water, eating a ton of food. And, you know, I'd just get real tired real easy, and I want to know why. You know, I'd eat right throughout the day, and I just feel sluggish in games and in practices. And, you know, one day I happened to check my blood sugar, and it was through the roof. So, you know, I called the doctor, and I went to the emergency room, and, you know, that night they diagnosed me with diabetes. So it was a big shock for my family and I. You know, my parents were emotional, but, you know, I really didn't look at it in a negative way at all. You know, like you said, I believe in God, and I felt like God gave me that for a reason. And, you know, it's crazy how things happen, but I took it in a positive way, and I've controlled it, and I've managed it. You know, I don't let that affect me in any way on the football field.
When you say that you feel like God gave it to you for a reason, a lot of people would look at God and kind of curse his name, get upset, shake their fist, and say, why did you do this to me? You look at it as something that he gave you for a purpose. What makes you think of it that way, and what do you think the purpose is that God gave you this type 1 diabetes to carry on in your life with?
You know, well, he blessed me with the athletic ability to play football. And he also blessed me with giving me type 1 diabetes, and I believe he gave it to me so I could show younger kids that, you know, you could have a setback in your life, but that can't force you from doing the things that you dream of. And, you know, by getting diabetes, I could still do the things I want to do in my life and pursue a career in football and not let it affect me at all.
When you're on the football field or you're going through your daily life, what has type 1 diabetes kind of had you have to prepare for? I know that you carry insulin with you, but have you gotten used to it at this point? Is it something that is just a part of your life? How do you kind of handle it from day to day?
Right. I mean, it's just a part of my life now. I don't think second about it. I have to check my blood sugar, you know, maybe 10 times per day. But I'm actually getting this new device within the next couple of days where I could just get my blood sugar reading on my phone. But just have to be conscious of my diet and you know, what I eat. And help working out helps it a lot with my blood sugar numbers. So, yeah, it's just second nature to me now. My family's done a great job of helping me, you know, teaching me how to manage it on my own.
When you look at having this adversity that you've had to overcome, and you have overcome and work with it every single day. What can you say about your family, your friends, teachers, coaches, your support system that has helped you to get to this point? Because your positive outlook on life that you said, you know, has come from God. With God, what family members, friends, and other people around you have helped you to handle the adversity, not just with diabetes, but with anything in life, that you could hit the wall and find a way to either go through the wall, get over the wall, but not let the wall stop you?
I have to say my parents and my younger sister, Sydney, have been the biggest, you know, positive influence in my life. Ever since I was a little kid, I always had a dream of being a professional athlete and playing Division I. Any sport I play, I also play football, or basketball and baseball. But, you know, they've been there for me from the start, and they believed in me when nobody else would. And, you know, with the disease I'm getting, they still believed in me, and they told me, you know, don't let that set you back. That's just a message from God. And, you know, just great family support, and I really owe to them for my successfulness.
Sydney, your little sister, what you could say about her and what she specifically has meant in your life, and then secondly, how nervous a guy has to be to come to your house knowing that her older brother is going to be a D1 college football player as an outside linebacker. So first, what does Sydney mean to you? Second, how scared should somebody be at the door?
You know, my sister means an extremely, you know, extreme ton amount to me. You know, she's my number one fan. She's been at every sporting event ever since I was little, ever since she was born. And, you know, she's just a huge supporter in me and, you know, believes in me. She's a golfer, and she likes to draw. She's also a cheerleader. So she doesn't really look at me as a Division I football player. She looks at me as an older brother, and, you know, someone to look up to. And she's super proud of me, and, you know, I'm extremely blessed to have her in my life.
When somebody comes to the door to ask for Sydney to go out on a date, if you're on the other side of that door, what should they know about her older brother?
Well, they better treat her right. It's going to be a problem. That's all I got to say. But, you know, I want someone that would respect her and, you know, treat her like a lady, most of all. And, you know, trust me, her and my dad will be having a lot of talks whenever she gets a boyfriend. that's a long way ahead, too, so you better be ready.
Well, duly noted for all the people out there that are thinking about knocking on that door someday that you have made that statement. Speaking of knocking on the door, knocking down the doors, Syracuse obviously has some work to do in the ACC. What makes you believe that this staff, that yourself, that the other recruits you were around when you came to visit Syracuse and the current players, what makes you believe that this team, with the players and the coaches, can work their way up the ACC, knowing that they've struggled in their first few years?
Well, this new coaching staff has a tradition of winning, and, you know, they think outside the box and with a know-how offense and a different type of defense. And, you know, just based off their tradition of winning, I think that's going to carry over. Not to mention, I'm speaking for myself, but I can speak for all the recruits as well. We believe in that, and we believe we're going to win, and we're going to put in a tremendous amount of effort and hard work and practice every single day in the weight room and, you know, just get better and devote our lives to being a winning football program.
Your linebackers coach, Tom Kaufman, another guy that you got to know at Bowling Green and now is at Syracuse, will be your position coach as well. What can you say about Tom and your relationship with him and what he means to you, knowing that he's going to be the guy that you're with more than any other coach while you're at Syracuse?
You know, over the past couple months, I got to develop a great relationship with Coach Kaufman. He's from Northeastern Ohio as well. He actually went to Mentor Lake, where we play them in football almost every year. So we have that connection with him there. You know, just talking to him, you know, I really believe that we're going to be a successful defense. You know, just flying around the field, making plays. And, you know, he's just a great guy and a great coach. And, you know, I'm really looking forward to working with him.
As you go forward here, you look at the fact that you're going to be playing outside linebacker. You brought up that there's going to be a different style of defense. How much do you know about Syracuse's upcoming defense, and what can you say about what it's going to look like and if you've ever played in something like it before?
I've actually never played, you know, on that type of defense before. I'm kind of familiar with it. I know I'm going to, you know, fit in as a Willer-like linebacker, you know, maybe be 235 pounds, 240, and being able to cover that back, you know, on a vertical down the field, man coverage, and, you know, having the ball skills to do that, you know, and then, you know, coming up and making a hit when I need to. So just being an all-around athlete on the field.
What is it about this defense that I believe, you know, the Tampa 2, what can you say about it and how much you know about it at this point from any research you've done or being around a team that has played? I know you said you haven't done too much with it in the past, but what can you say about a Tampa 2 and the linebacker position for you?
Well, I think Tampa 2 is the right fit for me at linebacker. I played safety in high school, so I'm familiar with, you know, man coverage and zone coverage and how all that works, and I think that'll transition well, you know, into me just reading the quarterback's eyes and dropping back in a specific zone and, you know, really, you know, just being a playmaker in space, you know, just kind of floating around, you know, just making plays.
As you look forward here, before I let you go, I want to give you an opportunity, Andrew, to talk to the Syracuse fans out there and let them know who you are as far as how you look at yourself on this field and the future of Syracuse football. What should Syracuse fans know about Andrew Armstrong and the future of the Orange?
You know, fans should know about me is it's been my dream my whole life to play Division I football, and I've worked extremely hard to get where I'm at right now. And my dream one day is to, you know, win a national championship and maybe go to the NFL. And I'll work extremely hard in college, more than I worked so far to do that. Just a positive kid who's going to be a leader on the field, and just a, you know, a really great kid who's not going to go out and party all the time, and, you know, do drugs and all that. I'm focused on a goal, which is football, and, you know, I'll do anything to achieve my dreams.
What makes you have that, like you said, you're not going to go out and get yourself in trouble, you're going to stay focused and go after your dreams. What helps you keep your focus? What helps you when there is peer pressure and there are things around you trying to pull you in a negative direction? What is it about you that keeps you focused, keeps you kind of looking at your goals every time you need to?
You know, I'll always remember, you know, my morals and, you know, what my parents taught me. Syracuse has offered me quite a lot of money to go to their school and play football. And, you know, I owe them that respect to give them my all and not fall into peer pressure and all the outside activities. So, you know, my main focus is football, and I'm going to school to learn, get a great education, and play football. You know, I have all my life after that, I do what I want. But for these next three to five years, you know, I'm going to be totally focused on football.
And finally, for you, Andrew, too, give your mission statement, who you are, not just as a football player or a student, but as a person. How would you define Andrew Armstrong?
I would define myself as a leader. I'm someone that's going to stand out and not fall into what others have to say. I have goals in my life, and I'm a, you know, respectful person. I'm a humble person. I always remember where I came from growing up, you know, in a above average house in, you know, Youngstown, Ohio. I'll always remember where I came from and, you know, never let the fame and, you know, big D1 player get the best of me. So, a very humble person.
Well, listen, Andrew, I can't tell you how much I appreciate the fact that you've taken some time with me, and I look forward to having you back on the show to continue to talk about faith, family, football, and keeping yourself focused on what matters. So, thank you for what you're doing, and I look forward to having you back soon.
No problem. Thank you.